Hey, guess what? It's me again. And we're doing another book review. Now, here's one that I had talked about on my TBR list, as everybody had read it but me, and I'm finally getting around to it. This actually came out in 2014, and this is a little book called The Troop by Nick Cutter. Now, Nick Cutter is actually, I didn't know this until 5 minutes before I started recording this review, but it's actually the pen name, or one of the pen names, of a writer named Craig Davidson, who is Canadian, and under his real name, he writes literary fiction, but he also has a couple different pen names, Nick Cutter being one of them. I think the other one is like Patrick Latuska or something like that, where he writes kind of more horror type of stuff. So this book right here, like I said, this has been like all over book review channels and stuff like that. So many people have recommended it. It's like it has massively high ratings on Goodreads. It's like 4.5-star average. And most of the reviews of it are very good. And look at this. It even has an endorsement from Mr. Stephen King himself right there on the front saying the book scared the hell out of him, you know. So, you know, that's going to be a good recommendation at all times. So let's get into this a little bit. Now, there will probably be pretty major spoilers for this because, like I said, it's very, very hard to talk about the book without spoiling some stuff. So if you haven't read the book and want to read the book and don't want shit spoiled for you, then obviously you need to kind of check out and then go read it and then come back later on. But if you have already read it and just want to talk about it, or if you just don't give a shit, then please continue. So this book, which came out in 2014, I'm gonna say right here, this was a very fun book. It's also very, very gross. If you are like, if you're a real seasoned horror person, like especially if you're kind of into like real gory shit or real a lot of body horror, that it probably won't bother you too much. I'm kind of giving that warning mostly for people who are not all that seasoned with horror or are more into like ghost story or supernatural type shit. This is a very, very gross, graphic body horror type of book, specifically having to do with parasites. And there's also quite a bit of animal cruelty, and it's pretty vividly described. And so if that seems like this, something's going to bother you, then probably you don't want to read this because it does get pretty nasty. But it bothered me, but not, I've read a lot worse, which I'm sure like a lot of, you know, if you're really into horror, I'm sure you've read a lot worse too. But I'm just saying, if you're not like a big horror veteran or don't read a lot of body horror or gory stuff, this might bother you because it's actually pretty gross. So the premise of the book is that there is a little scout troop in Canada, and it's led by Scoutmaster Tim. And I guess every year he takes some of his scouts on like a little camping vacation. I think it's only like over a long weekend or something like that. I can't remember how long it was supposed to be. I think it was only 3 days. So they go out to this place called Falstaff Island, which is essentially just a really small deserted island, and it's off the coast of Prince Edward Island. So you can't really get, so even like on the mainland, there isn't like a whole bunch of stuff. So already you're getting the sense of like isolation. So this particular weekend, he takes 5 boys out on this yearly trip. Now these boys are named Max, Kent, Newton, Shelley, and Ephraim. I keep wanting to say it looks like Ephraim. I've seen that name before, but I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce it. But then his friends call him Eef, which I thought, well, maybe that means that it's a long E and that I should be saying Ephraim, but maybe I'm thinking about this too much. I don't really know. So each of these boys kind of has their own thing. Like, you know, you have Kent, who's sort of like, not a bully necessarily, but he's kind of one of those golden boy jock types who's kind of like always picking on people, but kind of saying it's good natured, I suppose. So it's that, and he's good at everything. Like he's good at all the sports and athletics and whatnot. Then you have Newton, who's kind of your stereotypical kind of chubby nerdy kid who knows everything and is into a lot of weird geeky stuff. Then you have Ephraim, who seems like a nice kid, but he has anger issues. So they go into that a little bit. Max, who is kind of like the all around loyal, good friend type of kid. And then you have Shelley is a psychopath. This is not revealed. I guess it's kind of revealed very, very slowly, because you kind of get some stuff of him earlier where he seems very interested in taking things apart and being able to do whatever he pleases and things like that. But it very, very slowly ramps up. And I think that the addition of his character to this, I mean, it's like a very, because this goes sort of in, it's body horror and parasites and stuff, but then it goes like in, it has a little bit of a Lord of the Flies type of shit going on too, because you have all these boys and they don't have any adult supervision. So I think the addition of Shelley's character really kind of made this story maybe a lot more layered or a lot more interesting than it might have been otherwise, because not only do you have this frankly horrifying situation going on this island with this parasite, which I'll get into in a little bit, but then you have this added horror of this kid who is just a fucking straight up psychopath and is so, so happy that he's abandoned on this island. There's no adults. There's all this bad shit happening. And he's super into it because he's like, woo, he can just indulge like his worst proclivities. And this kid is horrible. He's like straight up serial killer shit, you know, and he's like 14 years old. I think they're all about 14 or around that age. But yeah, so I think the addition of that character was like a really good idea. Now, Nick Cutter said that there's kind of like a postscript where he was talking about, you know, thanks and everything like that. And he said that he got the idea to write this book in the format that it's written in from Stephen King's Carrie, which I think was a really interesting thing to do. Because so what he does is that most of the narrative is kind of focused on each of the boys and on Scoutmaster Tim. Like, you know, so each chapter kind of goes into their thought processes and what they're thinking about and what they're doing. So you get kind of like boots on the ground sort of thing of the parasite shit taking over. And it's all very claustrophobic and isolating because, like I said, they're all on this island all alone and this terrible shit is happening. But then, like, to get a broader perspective, he brings in essentially the same thing that they had in Carrie, where it's like every now and then there'll be like a newspaper article or there will be a transcript of testimony like from some trial that happened like in the future, like after this incident occurred. Now, I do like that they did that because it's kind of like close perspective, and then like wider perspective, because otherwise, you know, it's all just these few characters on this one island. And if it was all from their point of view, you know, you might not get like a wider perspective on what is actually happening and what's going on. But I will say one tiny, tiny thing that I can criticize is that sometimes the articles, because they're peppered throughout the narrative, they kind of foreshadow stuff to, not even foreshadow, they basically just tell you what's going to happen, because very, very early on in the story, there's a article, I can't even remember, but I remember this being pretty early on in the book, where there's a newspaper article, and it's basically talking about the Falstaff Island incident, which is what they're calling it, and, you know, this article was from sometime, you know, in the future, and it basically straight up tells you that one person survived. You don't know who that person is until the very end, but so the whole entire time, you know that everybody but one of these people is gonna die. You know what I mean? I don't know if that really, because it's still like a really, really compelling and really entertaining read, but I'm not sure if maybe it played its hand too early. I don't know. I don't know if I really want to say that, but I can kind of say that, you know, sometimes you would read the articles, you would read the testimony from the people later that were, you know, trying to defend their actions, you know, when this whole like shitstorm took place. And I don't know, I feel like maybe some of it I would have put it a little bit later. But like I said, it's a very, very minor criticism. I'm not going to go too much into it. But, you know, that's just something that occurred to me like while I was reading it. So you have these five boys and their scout leader, and they're doing, you know, regular scout shit as you would do like on a couple day camping trip. And I guess they've been on them before. So this is not like new territory for them. And they all seem pretty savvy, you know, in the woods. They can all build fires. They all have all their stuff and everything. So very shortly into this trip, I believe it's the first night when they get there, they're on this, you know, they're in their little cabin or whatever. And this boat comes up to the island and there's this dude on it. And this dude, he doesn't look like he's doing too good, is what we're going to say. He's really, really skinny. Like, he shouldn't even be walking around. He should probably be dead skinny, like monstrously skinny. And he just keeps coming up and saying that he wants food, that he's just like, he's so, so hungry. And it's like, even the first part of the book, I think, is called The Hungry Man. And so this dude just shows up, and obviously he's very, very ill, but they don't really know what's the matter with him. And it also appears, too, that he's been eating some stuff that is not food in his quest to fill this hunger that is apparently overtaking him. So this guy, so Tim sees this guy, and he's basically, like, flipping it. He's like, okay, well, I'll give you something to eat, but you can't really hang out here because, you know, there's these kids, and, you know, I'm supposed to be watching them, and I don't know what is wrong with you, and all this other stuff. So what ends up happening is that this guy starts kind of acting crazy. Like I said, he's, like, eating shit that's not food. Like, he'll basically eat anything that's not nailed down, you know, rocks, whatever, like grass. So he ends up, I can't remember if he, like, pukes over Tim or barfs or something like that. It happens that after this dude dies, because, I mean, it's very clear from the beginning that he's gonna die because he just looks like fucking a zombie walking around. And what they discover is that his entire body is essentially filled with tapeworms. And these tapeworms, which you find out over the course of the story, like from the, you know, the newspaper articles and things like that, they're not regular tapeworms. They are basically a genetically engineered tapeworm. I'll get into that in a little bit. So this guy is full of, like, there's like one really big tapeworm that they kind of pull out because Tim has the weird idea, and I think the implication, I don't know if he says this outright, I got the impression that once the tapeworms took you over, not only did they just make you want to eat everything, like they, and you can't get any nutrients, which is why, like, some people are, like, losing, like, 30 pounds, like, in a day or two, because it just eats everything inside you, and it also just makes you keep eating, and it doesn't care if it's food or not, it's just kind of, it just, you know, it makes you super, super hungry, so you just, like, kind of, you know, start eating your own fucking fingers and, like, you know, drywall or whatever. So it does that, but it also seems to, and it seems to affect the different kids in a different ways, like when they get it. But Tim, who is the first one aside from this random stranger to get it, he starts to get the idea, like, when the guy comes in there and after he dies, he basically gets one of the kids, hey, come in here and help me. Because Tim is a doctor, too, if I didn't mention that. He's, like, the town doctor. And he's like, we need to cut this dude open and, like, see what's going on. Like, they need to do some kind of surgery on him. And he somehow has the bright idea to, like let one of the kids help out. And I'm just like, wow, that really sounds like a dumb idea. But then, like, you can hear his internal monologue, which is really kind of a dialogue. Because, you know, one side of him, which I guess is still the rational side, and it's sit there going, what the fuck am I doing? This is the stupidest idea ever. We should, like, just quarantine this dude and not touch him. But then he has this other part of his mind that's being like, yeah, get that kid in here and let's cut this guy open. So I guess they're implying that the parasite also controls the way you think. Because later on, when some of the kids get the parasites later, they start thinking that even though they, you know, they've lost like 30 pounds and they're just like ravaged by worms and they're just eating rocks and whatever, they think that they have superpowers, even though they're shambling around, like, you know, and they're clearly dying. But they think they're super strong and super powerful and everything. So I think that the parasite also has that aspect to it where it will make you think whatever you need to think to propagate it, like to spread it to somebody else. So Tim ends up getting the worms, and so he realizes pretty quickly, oh shit, this is not good, and it's gonna spread everywhere, because what ends up happening is that there's, like, one big tapeworm, and then there's a whole bunch of, like, little tiny ones that can basically get in anywhere. Like, at one point, not to be gross, but at one point, the parasites, like, basically crawl up one of the kids' pee holes, you know. So that's how small they are. But there's just, like, one big one, and it just keeps, like, reproducing, like, inside the bodies or whatever. Like a real tapeworm. But like I said, there's more to these tapeworms than that. So Tim realizes, because he's like, oh shit, I got this dude, like, got his juices on me, and now I have the worms. And so he figures out pretty quick, look, you kids need to get away from me. And so they lock him in a closet in a cabin. And then there's all this other shit happens. Like, there's a big storm and, like, a tree falls on the cabin. It's like, so Tim gets killed. So now these five kids are on this island all by themselves with a bunch of tapeworms, like, you know, that are spreading to everybody. So at this point, it kind of goes into, I don't want to say it's too much like Lord of the Flies, because I think a lot of people have kind of oversold that a little bit. It's only like Lord of the Flies in the sense that here's a bunch of little boys who are left on an island with no adult supervision, and then there's like a really, really bad situation brewing, and they kind of have to figure out how to survive. And the presence of Shelley, one of the kids, who is a straight up psychopath, in a sense, like, starts working against the other kids, because his whole motivation is, hooray, I now have complete license to do all these horrible things that I've always wanted to do, but was never really allowed to because I would get into too much trouble. So you have that going on too, like as a wild card type of thing. So, I mean, basically, as I said, from very early on in the book, you know that only one of the kids is going to live. Like I said, you don't know which one it is. You know pretty quick it's not going to be Kent, because he's kind of the first one to get the worms. And so it basically just goes on from that. Like, you know, the parasites keep moving from kid to kid. And so their whole thing is like trying to survive, trying to get off the island, because the dude, the hungry man that came in the beginning, he had a boat, but he ate the spark plugs. Because like I said, they're eating everything. So they find out later, like, one of the kids remembers, I think it's Max, remembers later, hey, when me and, you know, Scoutmaster Tim were rooting around in this dude's stomach, I saw something shiny in there. Maybe it's the spark plugs. So they have to go in there and, like, reach around inside this dude's, like, gross-ass guts and, like, find the spark plugs. And then Shelley steals them. And it's, like, this whole thing. So, again, so that's kind of the main narrative. And then you have sort of all these newspaper articles and all these kind of, you know, testimony, you know, of people that have, there was like a trial afterward. Now it turns out what these tapeworms are is that there was a scientific lab or whatever. And there's this one guy, I can't remember the name of the doctor, but he's kind of like this crazy doctor, like genius Dr. Frankenstein type shit. And he apparently had two different contracts going where they were trying to modify this tapeworm. And one company that was paying him was like, hey, we want a tapeworm that people can eat, like in a pill, and it'll make them lose all this weight, like really quick. But this tapeworm was supposed to only be in your body for like the few days it would take you to lose as much as you wanted to lose. And then it was supposed to die and it was supposed to be passed out of your system. So he's working on that. But also, unbeknownst to many other people, he also had a military contract to make something essentially a biological weapon. So he was working on both those things, and he succeeded in fucking spades, probably better than he was expecting. So what ended up happening was that the dude from the beginning, who was the guy that first came to Falstaff Island on the boat, the hungry man, he was one of their lab rats, their experiments. Apparently they had paid, he was like some dude who was like down on his luck, and they were saying, hey, you know, we're doing all these medical experimentation for money, and they didn't really tell him what it was. So they essentially infected him with this tapeworm, and then he escaped, and everything just, like, everything became a huge clusterfuck. So what else is going on, too? While these kids are on this island, the military and everything like that finds out about it pretty fast, because they knew that that dude had escaped from the lab, and they're like, holy shit, we need to contain this situation. So basically, these kids have been left on this island, and the military is like surrounded, because, you know, not too far into the story, like after Tim dies and everything, the kids start to notice all these boats like out on the thing and like helicopters and stuff. So for a time they're kind of thinking, oh, well, the adults will come fix it. They'll save us. Like our parents will come save us or anything like that. But what they don't realize until much later in the story is that this was, you know, it wasn't meant to escape, but it was a bioengineered parasite that got out. And so they're trying to contain the situation, and they are perfectly happy to let these kids die on this island to make sure that this parasite doesn't get off and start spreading, because it's very, very virulent, and it's very, very, and it spreads really, really quickly. So these kids are essentially just being sacrificed. And some of the people, like some of the, you know, the testimony of the people later were just kind of like, you know, we weren't happy about it, but what the fuck are you going to do? It's like, you know, yes, it's sad that like the five kids were there and we just kind of fucking left them and they wouldn't let their parents come get them or anything like that. But you know, if it got out, if it got off of that island, then we're all fucked. It would have, like, spread and, you know, millions of people would have died. So that's kind of how they talked about it. So that's kind of how the story goes. I don't know, you know, it's like I said, I'm not going to spoil it too much, but you know, one kid does live, doesn't really have an easy time of it, obviously, because like some really, really bad shit happened. But like I said, I mean, this is a pretty gross ass book. If you are not down with reading about tapeworms or reading about, you know, various bodily fluids and people reaching around inside other people's guts, people eating disgusting things, this is really not the book for you because it's pretty nasty. Also, like I said, there's a lot of pretty graphically described animal cruelty. There's one part where they're talking about when they were first doing the experimentation on the worms, and they basically put the worms inside, I think it was a chimpanzee. So you kind of like have the person that was watching the test kind of talking about what's happening with the chimpanzee. And that was really upsetting. The character of Shelley, who, like I said, is a psychopath. There's a lot of shit of him doing horrible stuff to animals, including, you know, pinching the eyes off a crab and like just pulling a crab apart just for fun. There's a flashback scene of him drowning a kitten in a bathtub and then setting it on fire. So, and probably the worst, and I mean, that was the most upsetting for me because obviously I'm a cat person. There was also one really horrifying scene, which was, I think it was Max and Newt, and they were stuck on this island with no food, obviously, because everybody that got the parasite got super hungry. So somebody ate all of their food. I think it was Kent. And he ate all the food that they had brought for the trip, and they didn't have anything else, and they couldn't get off the island, obviously, to get anything else. So they're kind of like eating berries and shit like that in the woods. So at one point they find like a sea turtle, like trapped in a little tide pool, and they decide, well, we have to kill it and eat it. And they don't really want to. And there's this and it's a really prolonged, horrifying, I mean, it's necessary to the scene, and they, cause they feel horrible about it. And, but just the way it's described is just like really, really horrific. It kind of reminded me of that scene from Cannibal Holocaust, you know, like with the sea turtle where they killed it for real. It kind of reminded me of that a little bit, but just the way it's described and the way that the boys feel about it. And it's just like really, really, it's just really horrifying and heart wrenching. So yeah, if that's going to bother you too, there's a lot of that in there. I don't think it's excessive. I don't think it's unnecessary. I don't think it's in there just to be shocking, but you know, I'm just saying, it's like, if you're not really down with reading shit like that, cause I did see some reviews on Goodreads that as soon as they got to like some of the scenes, they were just like, nope, I'm out, you know, so just a warning. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, other than that, if you really like body horror, if you really like really gory stuff, really gross shit, you will probably really dig this. I had a great time with this book. I think it's really, really, it's awesomely written. It's really entertaining. All of the kids, I think it took me a little while for me to differentiate all the kids from one another. Cause I'm sitting there going, wait, which kid is that? But then as it went on and you got each of their internal monologues, you know, they became a lot more distinct. I will say that probably Newt was my favorite character, although Max was pretty awesome too. So when bad shit happened to them later on in the book, you were really kind of bummed out about it because they really seemed like real kids. Like they really kind of came off the page, and the way that they interacted with each other kind of reminded me of, Stand By Me or The Body, you know, the original story by Stephen King. It kind of reminded me of that with just like these boys and they're out in the woods and just like the way they talk to each other and stuff like that. And they, you know, just trying to, you know, keep their loyalty, keep their friendship together. And, you know, as the horrors just kept escalating and the fact that some of them were able to keep their shit together enough to, you know, at least try to escape, or at least try to do something about what was happening to them was really, really, it was just really compelling and also really heartbreaking because you kind of know from the beginning that most of them are not going to make it. And, you know, even if they do make it, it's like just, I can't imagine like going through something like this. It would just be all the shit that they had to see and all the shit that they had to do and stuff. It was just like fucking horrifying. So yeah. But so I can totally see all of the hype for this book. It's just very well written. The characters are very well rounded. It's gross. It's squicky. It's, you know, it's kind of creepy, like skin crawlingly, not scary, but just in that just kind of gross, you know, kind of way. It's kind of like that. But yeah, I mean, I would totally recommend it. I feel like if they made a movie of this, it would probably make me want to gag, but it would probably also be really good. I've seen this actually called Lord of the Flies Meets the Ruins, which I also reviewed The Ruins a little while back, if you want to go watch that. Which, like I said, that's kind of accurate in the body horror sense, because, you know, The Ruins was actually kind of about a vine that sort of took over your body, and this is like worms that take over your body. So it's, you know, it's kind of a similar thing. Like I said, I think the Lord of the Flies thing is slightly overplayed, because I don't think it's that much like Lord of the Flies, except for the dynamic between Shelley and the other four boys, him just being a psychopath, like, happy that he can run amok on this island and do all these horrible things. So I think that's where the Lord of the Flies thing comes from. But yeah, it was just a totally fun, gross read. It's almost kind of like, I got kind of a throwback sort of vibe to it. Like just kind of that just real gory, like 80s horror kind of, but a little bit elevated. Like I feel like the literary, I guess, because Nick Cutter, you know, in his Craig Davidson name under his real name, he's actually a literary fiction writer, and he's actually won a lot of awards and stuff, and you can really see that in the way that stuff is written. Like some of the language, like some of the metaphorical language, some of the way he describes things are really, really evocative and really kind of make you see it, like, in your mind's eye. So yeah, I mean, this was solidly 4.5-star read for me. I just really had a good time with it. So if you like throwback 80s horror, if you like really gross shit, then pick it up if you haven't read it. I know a lot of people have, and I'm kind of late to the party. But yeah, definitely, definitely a really good one. So check it out if you haven't already. And I'll see you on the next one. Bye.